can be assured that in the end, it'll be worth it. God is merciful. We saw that with Job. We saw that with Paul. We saw that with others. The fact is, God will make it worth it. Sometimes that will be seen in part in this life, but certainly, ultimately, and to its fullest extent, that'll be seen in eternity. The first 5 seconds we're in heaven, it'll be worth it. For whatever's been gone through in this world, for whatever has been suffered, for whatever things that we wondered about, why did this happen? God is merciful. God is gracious. And the fact that he has been seen like that all through the scripture ought to be something that we take into account. Well, let's talk about some lessons we can learn. When we look at the word of God, God does answer. We need to remember that. Garth Brooks had a country song here years ago. Thank God for unanswered prayer. There is no such thing to a child of God. God answers our prayer, he promised. But the fact is, no is an answer as much as yes is. Or maybe it's not just no for always, but no for now. But those are answers. And when we go to God and pray and what we desire does not come about, don't say, well, I wonder if God heard me. Yes, he heard me. He had promised that, as we saw before. He told us to pray to him. And the fact is that he does care for us. In 1 Peter chapter 5, he ever cares for us. The word there in the Latin Vulgate was providentia. We get our word providence. God's providence prevails. It doesn't matter what point in time from creation to now till the last day that this earth exists, God's providence is active. He cares for his people. And he does hear our prayer. He's answering. And we need to remember that answer indeed does come from him. God's ways and thoughts are beyond man's finite nature. When you look at God's wisdom and the fact that he's wise, not only with regard to my case, but your case and somebody who's across the globe, do you realize that sometimes those may come into conflict? I was raised in a community where our family were dairy ranchers. And what was good for a dairy rancher was not good for a wheat farmer back in Pampa, Texas. How is it that God answers both of those Christians? One of them like our family and dairy farmer, and a number of them who are Christians who are wheat farmers. What might be good for us would be bad for them. But God knows the best in all of that. He recognizes every one of those situations, wherever it might be. And he recognizes how to bring about the best, not only in a limited area, but in a universal sense as well. That's above my pay grade, and it's above yours. I'm not able to figure all of that out. And when I pray and I think this is the best, I need to understand what Jesus said about that. Nevertheless, not my will, but what? Thine be done. Recognizing that Jesus' desire not to go through the horror of a death on the cross caused him to do what every other person who experienced humanity has ever done. We don't want to go through suffering. We want to avoid that. Nothing wrong with that. And nothing wrong with Jesus wanting to avoid that if it's possible. But what if it's not? What if the way to accomplish God's will is only going to happen through that, which is exactly what had to be with Jesus? The 53rd chapter of Isaiah, as we delineated, would not have been fulfilled had Jesus not died and experienced those specific things that are prophesied about. So that was the will of God. That's why Jesus says, not my will, but thine be done. When we put that under the guidance of Almighty God, then we recognize indeed that God's infinite wisdom is what's in control, not our finite wisdom. Another thing about that, and that is that God knows that in a universal sense. Not just in a universal sense with regard to different places on the earth, I'm talking about in time. Had Job not suffered in the time that he suffered, how would I have the benefit of gaining from the wisdom that was there in his life thousands of years later. Had I not seen various things that happened with the Apostle Paul and how it was that he handled that, how would it be that not only people in that time would have heard the gospel of Christ in the way it did, but I wouldn't now as well? But Paul went through those things with God's guidance involved with respect to doing the thing that's right in the time that was necessary for all of that to come about and fulfill his case. You look at the Old Testament with regard to history. Surely those who underwent the problems that were there of the Assyrian captivity and conquest, who may have been faithful, had to ask God, why is this happening? Ultimately, in the next time when the Babylonians came against those in Judea, Habakkuk, we know, asked, why are you permitting all of this evil? Why don't you act? And God says to him, I'm going to. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring about the Chaldeans, the Babylonians. They're a merciless nation, and they'll bring about affliction. And Habakkuk, about half incredulous, you're going to, why in the world are you going to do that? How's that going to help anything? They're more wicked than we are. God didn't answer him either. He said, you wait and see. God is going to work that out. We now have the benefit of seeing that after the fact and seeing why God brought about that and how he controlled the raising up of a Nebuchadnezzar, as wicked as he was, to do that which was best. You know, we need to remember that in this particular time. I hear a lot of people saying, oh, things are really bad in this country, and that's exactly right. I look at some of the things that people have elected, and I think, how in the world? I would have rather voted for my left shoe than some of them. But the fact of it is,